throughout life, one comes across things that you learned before and they hit you afresh when you come across them again, as Maseil Sharm famously points out in the very first paragraph of his introduction. I think for many of us that has been happening more frequently since Simchas Torah. Parashat Vayishlach definitely, the beginning of Parashat Vayishlach definitely hits us. It's something we've learned before. And there may even be ideas the Ramban talks about that we've heard about, and they hit us more. Our Rabbeim have referenced Mamore Chazal and Parashat Vayishlach, including those that we're going to see quoted in the Ramban in the next few minutes, in thinking about the rally. And that's actually one of the major meta lessons right here. You know, Parashat Vayishlach also is that I mentioned when we began to learn. Feel free to move to the spot that you think you'd be more comfortable. When we began to learn Ramban, I mentioned that one of the things you see in the Ramban much more explicitly than in Rashi is that at the same time that the Ramban is focused on the pasuk by pasuk perspective and looking at the individual trees, he's also very explicitly looking at the forest. He's very explicitly looking at the big picture. You mentioned when we got started many weeks ago that you see it even from the fact that the Ramban consistently writes an introduction to every single one of the Chumashim. He's interested in what does this individual pasuk mean. He's also very interested in trying to figure out each sefer is a sefer. So what's that sefer about? What's Shmos about? What's Bamidbar about? What's Vayikra about? What's Bereishis about? So sometimes you have in between those two extremes, Ramban will also sort of have a perspective on a chunk of a sefer as a whole. And every once in a long while, you actually get an explicit introduction. That's, Vayishlach is one of the places where that happens. You see, before he even gets to Pasuk Dalid, Seder, he calls it a Seder, be Marver Sedra, because we often use the word Parsha, Parshas HaShavua, to mean the amount of Chumash that we lay in over the course of the week. But of course, that's Yiddish, so to speak. That's not a technical use of the word. A parsha al-pidin means a paragraph, a psuch or a stuma. So the sedarim, the word that the Ramban and others use to mean the amount that we lay in over the course of the week, what we call a parsha shavuot. Seder v'yishlach Yaakov malachim. Nichtava ha-parsha hazos, this parsha was written, but he doesn't mean parsha as in all v'yishlach. He means parsha as in the first paragraph, which is a good chunk of Seder v'yishlach. This paragraph was written lahodia ki hitzak kadosh baruch hu's avdo galo miyad chazak mimenu. He's implying what kasha that he's answering without explicitly asking. This parsha was written in order to tell you, which means he's bothered by the kasha of right. So much detail. Say Yaakovina came back and he met Esav and it was okay. They moved on. Or you don't have to talk about it. Nothing happened. Right? It was a nothing burger. He was all concerned, but in the end, he met Esav, and they said hello, and Esav went to Seir, and Yaakov went to the Negev, and moved on. So nothing happened. So Rabban is really saying, why do I need this looking for? If there was an event, I understand, you need to know, something happened in Shechem with Dina, so we need to hear about that, and Shimon and Levi. Yosef Atzadik goes to Dothan, and things happen, and life changes, so you need to know what happened there. But who needs to know that he met Esav? No, there are no consequences. You could have just skipped this whole episode. Could have saved many psukim. Every pasuk, every word, every letter in Chumash is profoundly significant. Why is it here? What's it about? So he says that's a good kasha. We need to think about it. He says, what's the toeles? Nevuah shehutzur l'chodaros nichtava. What's the tzorach l'daros? You need to know ki hitzah kadosh baruch was avdo ugolo miyad chazak menu. That kadosh baruch hu saved his Eved. Yaakov Avinu was an Eved Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matzil him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was golem, Yad Chazak Imenu. He had a much stronger opponent, and that begins to explain why we need to hear the details. For instance, the Esav's military strength, Arbar Meos Ishimo, why do we need to hear that? We need to have, that's a key part of the scenario, that the pattern that the Torah is painting for us. Here you had what looked like a Gibor and a Chalash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried Yaakov Avinu. Vayishlach Malach Vayatzilehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent his messengers, his angelic messengers, to save Yaakov Avinu. So that's number one. Number one is to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our back. And again, Rabban has said to us repeatedly, based on the Bereshis Rabbah, Maisa of a similar banim. So one Maisa of a similar banim here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu has our back. Even Hanukkah is coming, Dach. Even when it's Rab Miyamiyatim and Gibar Miyad Chalashim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Yaakovinu's back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our back. Number two, not only to know something about Hanhagas HaBore, but also know something about Hanhagas HaAdam. And that too is actually apparently we've seen the Ramban of the last couple of weeks. When he talks about what's the Toelas in a Parsha, he also talks about what you learn about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu handles us, and what you learn about how we can and need to stretch. You should know that Yaakov Avinu didn't assume that I'm a big tzaddik, I just have to be talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of me, I'm all good. No. What was Yaakov Avinu's response? Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did carry him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did protect him, and in fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been mavtiach to him 20 years or so, or 20 more years earlier, when he was leaving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Oshmartich v'asher telech, beginning of last week, etc. But still, he didn't just say, I'm going to ride on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me, I'm just going to be passive. No. Hu lo batach b'tzidkaso. His pachat shem yigram achet. He didn't think he was such a tzaddik gomer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will necessarily take care of him in the way that he hopes. Yishtadel b'hatzal b'chol yicholto. And he worked very, very hard to save himself b'derech ha-teva. As we know, Rashi quotes, and the Ramban is going to reference as well, that Yaakov Avinu was involved in three different types of hishtadlus. He was davening, and two types of physical hishtadlus, Doron and Milchama. And then he says there's a third layer. There's a third layer. In addition to general principles of Hashkafa, Machshava, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach on his people, and the general principle in terms of our own Hanaga, that bitachon is not antithetical to Hishtadlos. And they were meant to have bitachon and also be Mishtadlo very hard. There's a third historical piece. Yesh ba'od remez l'doros. Kichol she'ir l'avinu em Esav achiv, yer alanu tamed in b'nei Esav. This was an archetype for what's going to play out again and again over the course of history. V'ro ilanu l'achoz b'darko shel tzadik. We need to follow the model of Yaakov Avinu. In other words, there will be many encounters with Bnei Esav over the centuries and millennia of Golos. This has happened again and again throughout Jewish history. And in the Seder we stress, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseihim Yadam, the Hanhagas HaBorei, and as Rabban had begun with, and there's also the Hanhagas HaAdam. Ro'i lanu lechoz b'darko shel tzadik. We're meant to follow the path of the Tzadik Yaakov Avinu. Shenazmin atzmein l'shalosh zadvarim. Shehizmin hu es atzmo. We have to prepare ourselves all the, as we were talking about a couple moments ago, the three aspects of Hishtadlos that we see in Yaakov. Tfila, Doron, and Hatzala kederach melchama. To daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to pursue diplomacy, and to pursue military options, which may mean standing and fighting, which may mean preparing to escape as effectively as possible. And Rabbi Yaakov Avinu has both. Right? He sets up, he's strategic, and that's where Rashi mentions the three drachim. He's strategic in terms of the way he divides the camp, and he's trying to figure out how he's going to maximize their chances of strategic success. And he says, Chazal talk about this explicitly. And over the course of the next number of psukim, he talks about this again and again. It sort of peels away a lot of the layers, pasuk by pasuk, and the different aspects of how you see Yaakov Avinu responding and how we're meant to respond, and the some of the historic, the specific historical narratives that are Maisa Avasim Labanim. There's a lot to see here. I want to just dip in to there are many psukim get into. I want to take a look at four small pieces. Most of the pieces begin the parsha are very, very small. I take a look at four small pieces. The first one is Paraklam Bez, Pasuk Tes. Paraklam Bez, Pasuk Tes. The next page. Haya hamachane hanishar lifleito. That is the original source where Rashi references the Tfila, Doro, and Muhammad. Right, Yaakov Avinu, what did Yaakov Avinu say? Let's think about that pasuk for a moment. He says, instead of keeping everyone all together, there is strength in numbers. But Yaakov Avinu says, but I think it's wiser, it's more prudent, it's more strategic to actually divide into two separate groups. We're not going to be all together. Why? Because Esav attacks one group, the other group will be saved. The Haya Hamachana Nishar Lifleta. The other group will be Niflat, will be saved from that attack. So there's an obvious question, which Ramban addresses. Al derech hapshat, omar ze bu'ulai. Al pipshuto, Yaakov Avinu is saying it as an ulai, as a maybe. What do you mean? So what was Ramban saying? What did the Ramban just say? Yeah, David?
The first one, the first group gets killed. If that happens, then the second one will be.
But if the first group gets attacked, the second one might be saved. Might be saved. Right? Because it is also possible that Esav will catch both groups. So the Ramban is bothered. What do you mean? I'm certain that if one group gets attacked, the other one gets saved? Maybe. So he says, yeah. Al pi pshuto, he's saying. Nothing's for sure, but I'm increasing my chances of the survival of some part of Klal Yisrael. For all together, it's either we stand together or we fall together. But if we divide into groups, so then there's a good chance, even if, as you're right, David, we don't know for sure the Esav will attack, even if Esav attacks, there's a good chance, can't say for sure, that even though the Chumr sounds like they will be leflate, the Ramban's up sure that means they might be leflate. Maybe. Why would the other machne be saved? Why? Because kibah hakoso echad yivruchu achirim. Number one, if he goes, he forks right, so the group on the left will run in the other direction. O toshuv chamoso. The second group might be saved because they have a chance to run, or the second group might be saved because maybe Esav will, his bloodlust will be Rachman son satiated after one attack, and he won't move on to find the rest of them. Or a third possibility, Tavala Matzala, Meis Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu may save them in some miraculous way. And interesting, at that point, by the way, Kadosh Baruch Hu might save them in some way that I can't predict, but still, Yaakov is doing his Shadlos, understanding that even if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do Nisim, a Kadosh Baruch Hu expects people to be Mishtadlo first. And then he says, interestingly, the Bereishis Rabba says this idea. Bereishis Rabba says it in a much broader fashion. The Torah is melamedes you derech eretz, a way to handle life on this planet. Don't put all your money in one corner. As we say, the English expression is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Now, even if you think that GameStop is doing incredibly well, and that is the wave of the future. Now, you just like, that's where you can make your money. Even if you're convinced that GameStop is going to like triple and quadruple, and like that's your path to wealth, even if you think that's the case, maybe put some of your money, maybe put 10-20% of your assets into GameStop. Don't invest 100% to GameStop. You may end up a billionaire, or you may end up penniless. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. So that's it. Says the Bereishis Rabba says that. We learned that from Yaakov Avinu. It's not only a principle in military strategy for Pikuach Nefesh, which is Yaakov Avinu, this is like the stakes are highest. Even if it's something more mundane. How do you invest your money? How do you invest your time? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You have some investments here, some investments there, and that way it's a wiser, more prudent way. Yes, your chances of astronomical growth are reduced, but your risk exposure is also reduced, and you want to balance your risk-reward relationship. Okay. So That's what the Ramban says, Al Pi Pshuto. That means there's at least a greater chance that they'll be saved. Rashi says, Machanesha Lafleta means Al Karko Ki Lachemimo. We will definitely fight back. We will win at least one time. Fascinating. That's what Rashi talks about. Hiskanat Smil Shalosh Advarim. Tvila Doron Milchama. Reisi the Medrash. The Medrash says, Me'osa, what do you do? Zina mi'bifnim v'l'bishim b'gar mu'levam v'chutz. Such a powerful image. That his children, he gave them weapons, but it was underneath the tuxedo. They wore b'gar mu'levam. They wore beautiful, elegant clothing. And underneath were daggers and swords. They were dressed for peace, but they were equipped for war. At the same time, they weren't pushing in Esau's face. They weren't coming in aggressively, belligerently. Like, they weren't looking for a fight. They were looking for peace, but they were ready. If things go south, they were ready to fight. That medrash is the source that Rashi and the Ramban are referencing. It tells you on the bottom, footnote 25, is that medrash Tanchuma, the idea of the shlosh advarim, the chayin ikr. Now the question, though, is, I understand, but why are you certain? Ramban had opened by saying, you know, for sure, you hope, you daven that you'll at least one group will survive. We understand logically, strategically, why it's more likely that even if one group gets attached, the other group will survive, whether they run or maybe Esau will come down. And Rashi is saying, based on the Tanchuma, or they're going to fight back. Okay, but how do you know for sure that the fighting back is going to succeed? So Rabban says something very, very powerful. A big, big yesod. In thinking about ourselves and thinking about Jewish history. Hakavana bazeh. What's the pshat? Or what's not the pshat? The drash? The pshat in the pasuk was, ulai machnesh uflei. The barash said, vadai. Why? I know for sure. Maybe you lose. Ki Yaakov yodeh she'ein zayro kulo nofu et Esav. Yaakov knew for sure that his children were not all be eliminated by Esav. Im kein yinotza machne echa akopanim. What do you mean he knew for sure? What do you mean he knew for sure? He says that's what we say. Hakadosh Baruch Hu matzah im yadam. There's a haftah. Hisha am davar saying v'lanu. We have a haftah from Hakadosh Baruch Hu that Am Yisrael is amanetzach. Am Yisrael will not perish. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a permanent, a central place for Am Yisrael in the unfolding history of the world. From now all the way, part of our emuna in Bias Hamashiach is that Klal Yisrael will survive and thrive until the end of the story of Olam Hazeh. We're going to be there to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. We don't know that any individual Jew will be there to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu, but that the corporate entity of Am Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, will be ruled ultimately by Mashiach Tzidkenu. So that means that Klal Yisrael, we have a Havtach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the Tanakh, that including several times the Chumash Bereishis, that Am Yisrael are a forever nation. It says, V'gam ze'irmos, this is Ma'asav Asim Labanim. Here we go. Shlo yigzru aleinu b'nei Esav limchos ha'shemenu. B'nei Esav will never succeed in totally eliminating us. Aval yasu ro'osim kitzasenu b'kitzasa ratzal shalom. They will sometimes persecute some of us in some lands. Here Rabban points out one of the Chazdei Hashem that the Chazal already pointed out, about, that you see over the course of Jewish history. Melech Echamahem goes to Biartal Mamonenu, Al Gufenu. In one country, the king is impoverishing us, or worse, attacking our bodies, our lives. Melech Acher, Merachem, B'mekomo, U'matzileh Pleitim. But in a different country, Klal Yisrael finds a place that's safe. When the Roman Empire is squeezing, every time you look at a page of Gemara, you see this, because Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael, but the Talmud Bavli was written primarily in Bavel. There are quotes from earlier generations of the Amoram of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Rachana, but the last couple of generations are all Bavel. Beyond Abai and Rabbi and Rav and on, it's all Amoroi Bavel. Talmud Yerushalmi ends very quickly. Why? Because the Romans were squeezing and squeezing and squeezing the Jews in Eretz Israel. That's why they were able to ultimately, they ended Smicha, they ended Sanhedrin, they ended the ongoing Kiddush HaChodesh HaPiyah. We had to switch to a fixed calendar. But the Talmud Bavli kept going. And the yeshivas in Bavel endured for hundreds and hundreds of years, hundreds of more years, all the way until the days of Rashi, the days of the Rambam. They were still, not all their glory, they're still yeshivas in Bavel. What happened? Because while Eretz Yisrael was part of the Roman Empire, the Sasanians, the Persian Empire at the time, rules Bavel. And the Sasanians were much more tolerant to the Jews than the Romans were. So when the Romans were squeezing harder and harder, and Tanah were able to operate in Eretz Yisrael, Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael, but they had a very difficult time writing Talmud over the next couple of generations, But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that there were already Jews in Babel, and Rav, if you had not seen his Talmidim, two of his crack Talmidim, Rav and Shmuel, had already gone to Babel, and Torah would endure, and Kol Yisrael would endure in Babel. And he says that's what the Bereishis Rabbah says as well. If the Jews here and the Jews there, Esav attacks us in this country, but the Jews in a different country are able to survive. Ru'ug, and then the Ramban comments after quoting Midrashei Chazal from centuries before his time. Ru'ug ki gam ledoros tirmozos haparsha. Notice, Ramban says, if you think about he's writing the 1200s, you see that it has continued to play out over the course of the last couple centuries of Jewish history. That when the Jews were being persecuted in Germany, the rush was able to flee to Spain. And when things went sour in Spain, there were other Jews were able, the Jews had already settled in Poland, and the Jews settled in Holland, and Jews were beginning to settle in the first steps, the preliminary steps for Jews to ultimately settle in Eretz Yisrael and in America. So that's an ongoing chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is already foretold b'nevuah in this week's parsha. And that's again, the Rabban says, what do you mean, v'haya machnech nishal afleita? It will be, al-pi pshuta means it might be. Strategically, you're raising your chances. But he says, al-derech medrash, it means for sure, because he had a haftacha. He couldn't just rely on the haftacha and say, we'll just stay here, we know we'll be okay. No, I have to do what's prudent. I have to do my ishtadlus, but I'm convinced that Kadosh Baruch will save at least some of us because we have that haftacha. And specifically, he says, over the course of Jewish history, one of the ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu has enabled the continuation of Kol Yisrael is the fact that we weren't persecuted in all places at the same time. There was always somewhere. There was always somewhere, yeah.
According to Rashi, that Yaakov had the one of the entire second Machna was going to be saved. So, I mean, according to what the Ramban is saying, that because he knew that Kol Yisrael would never be wiped out, so how did he know it would be the entire second Machna and not just two people?
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. He doesn't know for sure. Be whole machna, maybe some. That's a good point. That's a good point. Maybe if that means he knew for sure at least some of them would survive. Maybe. And then the poetry continues on page Kuf, Pei Vav. Yaakov Avinu is now. This is poetry, Algabe poetry, because Yaakov Avinu, as the Chumash tells us, in while he's preparing himself for the encounter with the physical Esav, he ends up by himself. Vayvaser Yaakov Levado. He has a moment when he's alone, and during that moment he's alone, he encounters a mysterious figure. He encounters a mysterious figure. Chazal teach us was the Malach who represents Esav. Psukim and Daniel say explicitly that different nations have Sarim. Malachim, they're associated with that particular nation. That's how Chazal understand. It's one of the interpretations that Chazal have for last week's, the Malachim in Yaakov Avinu's initial dream. That may have been a reference to the various Malchios who would, for a period of time, each respectively subjugate Kol Yisrael. Malach rises and Malach falls down. The rise and fall of empires. And that's how Chazal understand this mysterious figure who wrestles with Yaakov Avinu over the course of the entire night. Vayarki lo yachalo. The psukim say this figure is trying to overpower, trying to totally pin Yaakov, trying to totally eliminate Yaakov. And it was throughout the night he's wrestling and tussling and grappling with him. And he sees that he can't succeed in totally winning against Yaakov. So vayiga b'kaf yurecho. So he touches, he grabs his hip, he grabs his thigh, and wounds him in a way that causes Yaakov Avinu to limp temporarily the next morning, and that we have, the Torah tells us, we permanently memorialize, we remember Arayom Hazeh, that's why there are parts of the hindquarters of an animal that a Jew is not allowed to eat. The Gidhanasha is an Issa D'oraisa for Judy. It's the first, it's Alpipashas, the first mitzvah l'doros of Kashrut. That's mentioned in Chumash. He already had the Eitz Hadas, but that's not a mitzvah daros. The Gidhanasha, the first mitzvah daros, appears in Chumash based on this story. It's clearly a very, very significant story. Amish have a mitzvah. We have to remember the story with the din of Gidhanasha. What's the significance of the story? What happened to him? And
Rabban wants to know first, this little detail that spurs the attack on the Get Anasha is the Malach sees that he can't win. The Malach saw that he couldn't win. What does that mean? Malach. What's going on here?
Yaakovina was pumping iron every night. So because Yaakovina was bench press 250 every night, so that's why, you know, he held the Malach off. Really irrelevant if you're fighting a Malach. What does any of this mean? So Rabban says, no, Malachot Gibori Koch Osa Devaro. Malachim do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malachim have no Bechir Chavsh. Malachim are just the Yad HaRichta of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tools. The Malach is a robot who just follows his instructions. So if he couldn't, that means he was not authorized to. Al-Kelo Yachalo Amach Lazi. Kekelo Hurshak Masha Asa Imo. Laheka Kaf Yerecho. This wasn't like, oh, Lechatchila, he was going to do this, but the Yad Malach did that. No. The whole point is, this is what the Malach was sent to do. The Malach was sent to grapple with Yaakov, and he was sent to damage, to injure Yaakov. He was not sent to eliminate Yaakov. So he did exactly what he was meant to do, which was grapple and hurt. Oh, so now you have to ask yourself, so what does it mean? Bereshis Rabba says, Naga b'chol tzadikim shatin lios imenu. Zedero shel shmad. He was touching the medrashas. He was touching all the doors that would come from Yaakov. What does that mean?
We're touching all the doors that come from Yaakov? So we're touching me and you? Hopefully we're tzaddikim. Tzaddikim of future generation. Well, what does that mean? We don't care. It says, doesn't mean literally you touched all them. What ha'im kiyama ora kulo redhu darosa. She'i b'dorz darosh al Yaakov is gadere yisvalei ma'chei karv l'kakei beitzasa. There will be times in Jewish history during which Esau will be pushing very, very hard and persecuting the Jewish people terribly, persecuting Tzaddikim in particular, and will be close. There will be times in Jewish history, it will be a really close shape. And without Jewish history, when there's such horrific persecution, that we're very close to not making it. It was a dark nechachme a Mishnah. Kedar Yehuda ben Baba the Chader, the Harum and Malchus, the religious persecution, and the Hadrianic persecution that followed the Bakafa revolt. After the Bakafa revolt, they realized that when they had tried 7 years earlier, the usual Roman system of colonizing a country, and swap out some of the old temples, swap in some new temples, so it's a syncretist blend of the local culture and the Roman culture. They had a system and it worked. And it didn't work in Eretz Israel,
which they discovered 65 or so years later, the strength and the military impact of Bakafa's army was legion. The multiple legion of the Roman army ultimately called in, which was almost unheard of for such a small group, and won their 14th legion, I believe, this is what Yudalandi points out. 14th legion never appears again within the annals of Roman military history. Apparently, the Bakafa's soldiers succeeded in holding off against all odds Rabbi Amiyatim for a couple of years until finally the Romans overpowered them. And they succeeded in totally eliminating the 14th Legion. And the Romans realized, you guys, there's some X factor. They realized that the X factor is Torah. You guys just have a different approach to colonizing the Jews, and that's why after the Bakacha revolt, you have the Gezeret Shmad. They were killing Jews for learning Torah, for shaking lula, for wearing tefillin, and so on and so forth. And that's the period of Rabbi Akiva, and all of those, most of the Asaru Yemalchus, are from that period of time. It's terrible, horrific, unusually horrific persecution, unusually horrific torture. So it quotes Ashir Ashir Rabba, where the Amora Rebchia Bar Abba, who lived several generations later, a student of Rabbi Yochanan, a second generation Amora, says, like, he couldn't imagine. He could imagine dying Kilish Hashem. He couldn't imagine wrap his head around being tortured, and he couldn't wrap his head around living in the Dor Shel Shmad. Ein Yochel Lisbo. So horrific. Talk about the gruesome ways that the Romans tortured them. And then the Rabban closes. V'yishdor sachem sha'asu imanu kazev v'yoser ramizeh. I said that there have been generations since of the last couple centuries of Jewish history when the Nachrim tortured us even worse than the Romans did. Hakol savalnu varvar aleinu, and we managed to pull through all of it. Kemosha Ramaz, but Yavo Yaakov showing. When this is all done, Yaakov comes whole to Eretz Yisrael. Says, and that's part of the part of the very hopeful part of the Maisa Ava Simla Banim. Yaakov Avinu is going through horrific things and comes through intact. And comes through not just surviving, but thriving. There's so much more to see here, but let's close with the Ramban and Paraglam and Gimel Pasuk Tezvav. The end of the encounter, Yaakov is braced for the worst, Baruch Hashem, Esav is very pleasant, and he says, oh, come, let's be friends, we'll be pals, come with me, and we'll travel together. And Yaakov Avinu manages to finagle his way out of this. No, I go so fast, I go slow. You know, we'll get there. So Rabban says something, quotes a very famous comment of a gracious rabbi. He says, why should you be so nice to me? Hakavana, second line, be Yaakov ki lo haya chafetz b'hem v'chabu rasam klal. Yaakov, he did not want to spend more time than he needed to with Esau. The kol shkein shayi b'dayto lechaz derech acheres. And certainly since he was planning getting in a different direction. Yaakov, Esav is heading to Seir. Yaakov is heading back to Be'er Sheva, where his father is. That's number one. Layer number one in Yaakov Avinu's strategic finesse here is that he doesn't want to be mischaber to the Russia. He doesn't want to be mischaber to the Russia in process, in journey, and he has a different destination than the Russia does, geographically, and not just geographically, but also in a larger sense. Yaakov and Esav are heading in different directions. Yaakov and Esav have different goals. We're not trying to get to the same place. We're not going to travel together. And I don't want to spend time with you even on the way. That's number one. Number one is, as many of you are familiar with, Rambam begins the sixth parak of Deus, the power of positive peer pressure and negative peer pressure. That's the first lesson here. Yaakov says, I don't share goals with Esav, and I don't even want to, I'm going to even try to minimize the amount of joint travel I have with Esav. And then there's another layer. There's also a strategic layer. There's another layer, which is Amar Rabbi Yanai, Karavasalakim Achusa. We end with a story. Rabbi Yanai the Amora was traveling, Havasalakim Achusa. He was going up to the Malchus. That presumably means he was traveling to Rome to intercede, or to a local Roman governor to intercede on behalf of the Jewish people. So he had left the Jewish community and he was traveling to do some shtadlaras. He's going to Washington. He avoided traveling with the unfriendly Romans. Every time he would go, he would chazer this parsha. He would chazer Vayishlach. He remembered not to travel with Romans. Chazman lo estakoba. One time he was going to Rome and he forgot to chazer parshas Vayishlach. V'nasiv ime Ramoin. And he agreed to travel with a couple of Romans. And he hadn't even left Eretz Yisrael yet. He hadn't even reached Akko, which was a port city in the north, and he already sold his pinas. Pinas, Chavel writes in the bottom, is some sort of expensive type of clothing that he was wearing, a nice jacket. He had he already had to pay his way out. He already got himself into trouble with the Romans he was traveling with, and they were already pushing him around and bullying him, and he had to sell his hand over his jacket, give him his lunch money in order to escape. Boy, you've heard this before. This is the Makar. This Ramban. Lama Gimel Tezvav. They had a tradition. This is the Parsha of Golos. He was coming to Rome to the halls of power to negotiate on behalf of the Jewish people. He would chazer over at the beginning of a yishlach is the etzus that we have from the old wise Yaakov Avinu. This parsha gives us guidelines, models for how to handle such situations. Every time he chazered vayishlach, he remembered that Edom is self-interested. Edom is not seeking to help us. And they are also not going to respect our property. And the one time that he forgot to chazer, he forgot the lesson to his own peril. So it's a reminder of the power of chazara. Chazara, chazara, and nachama chazara. For all parts of Torah, and to recognize also that this part of Torah in particular is the Torah gives us guidance for every part of life. The Torah gives us guidance for how to live, how Jews meant to operate in the Beis HaMedrash, in the Beis HaKnesses. The Torah gives us guidance for how a Jew is meant to operate in the boardroom, in the dining room. The Torah also gives us guidance for how a Jew is meant to operate in the halls of power. Yosef, Esther, Daniel are all Jews who were models in the Tanakh of Jews who were incredibly proud and holy Jews who operate successfully in the halls of non-Jewish power, of non-Jewish kings, Laman called Yisrael, and with a great distinction. And Rabbanah points, yeah, Yaakov Avinu is really the first. Yaakov is the Av of Galus, Yaakov Tikkun Arvus, and specifically the beginning of the Yishlach. Is a lot of lessons for us, a little bit of which we had a chance to touch the tip of the iceberg in terms of some of the Maisa Avistim and Labanim, in terms of recognizing Yad Hashem and in terms of knowing what our Shtadlis needs to look like.